All right, hello everyone. I welcome you to our session. My name is April Brown. I'm like Al Burz, he's the outgoing president of the Black Caucus of Health Workers, so he's been an excellent mentor and role model. We were looking at the role of the church in addressing health care for its parishioners. As I was doing this project, I noticed that health care has been the forefront of the Black church since the time of the Black Mutual Aid Societies. So my presentation goes all the way back and shows how health care was part of the ministry of the Black leaders and also how it was utilized today. So the title of my presentation is Faith in Public Health Leadership in Producing a Healthier Community. And I don't have any relationships to disclose, no personal financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation during the past 12 months. Okay. Since the period of time prior to the passage of the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863 to the contemporary of advocacy matters of concern, African American faith leaders have been at the forefront of society, confronting negative social determinants of health and equity, which has affected the overall well-being of their parishioners in the United States. Richard Allen and Absalom Jones, they were lay members at the Integrated St. George Methodist Church, who were born slaves but eventually were able to purchase their freedom. They were lay ministers at St. George Methodist Church. In the church, their ministry started to really grow, and initially they only can hold, since they were African Americans, they could only hold services at 5 o'clock a.m. Their popularity grew in such, so they developed a gallery that was separated from the mainstream members. In 1876, the white parishioners met and decided that the Black parishioners should only sit in the balcony reserved for them. As Absalom Jones was kneeling doing prayer in the main sanctuary, one of the trustees came and pulled him off his knees, stating that he could not kneel to pray in the main sanctuary. Mr. Jones replied for him to wait until his prayer was over and that he would trouble him no more. Absalom Jones, Richard Allen, and other free blacks, they decided to leave St. George to create an independent worship for African Americans. So as you see, the first Black church and Black organizations, they were not developed as a result of theological differences, but because of the social justice issue of racism. They had the development of Black mutual aid societies in different cities. I'm talking about the one that was formed in Philadelphia, which was called the Free African Society. It was the first Black mutual aid society formed in Philadelphia, founded by ministers Richard Allen and Absalom Jones. They were free blacks whose purpose involved creating a non-denominational religious organization attending to the spiritual, physical health, economic, educational, and social needs of the city's African American community. These progressive visionary leaders attended to the Philadelphia African Americans community, complete state of health as defined by the World Health Organization, which was not even released to the world until 150 years after this organization ran its course. The Free African Society attended to the complete well-being of blacks, since they attended to the various concerns such as their physical and mental health, education, burial and ceremonies, and receiving financial assistance when in dire need. The membership, it was a strict membership. It required adhering to the strict rules to carry out the mission, which is involved support for one another in sickness and for the benefit of their widows and fatherless children. Monthly dues were paid by each member for the benefit of those in need. A member was expelled from the society for non-payment of dues for 3 consecutive months. One century later, W.E.B. Du Bois called the Free African Society the first wavering step of a people towards organized social life. In addition to assisting the black community, the Free African Society became well known for its benevolent work as nurses and aides during the Philadelphia community at large during the yellow fever epidemic of 1793, which killed over 5,000 individuals and over 20,000 individuals fled the city. Despite attending to the welfare of the Philadelphia African American community at large, the operations of the Free African Society were always viewed with suspicion, disdain, and racism from individuals of the mainstream America throughout its years of operation. So during this time, even though they put their lives on the line, they were still looked with suspicion. In fact, when the mayor of Philadelphia had called them to help, they thought that they were immune to being susceptible to the deadly effects of the yellow fever, but they were incorrect. So they put their lives on the line. Rich Allen himself did become sick, but he recovered, but others were not as fortunate. As time went on, Richard Allen became the first African American ordained in the ministry of the Methodist Episcopal Church. Richard Allen became the founder and first elected and consecrated bishop of the AME Church, focusing on organizing a denomination where free blacks could worship without racial oppression and where slaves could find a measure of dignity. So remember, slavery had not been outlawed at this time. Absalom Jones became the first African American ordained as a priest in the Episcopal Church in the United States. Both Richard Allen and Absalom Jones became ordained faith leaders who were civil rights activists and abolitionists, supporting causes that would lead to the emancipation of all African Americans, such as petitioning the U.S. regarding the 1793 Fugitive Slave Act. They participated in the Underground Railroad, and also they oversaw the Color Free Produce Society of Pennsylvania, which encouraged others to only purchase products from the labor of free blacks in order to counteract the profit of slavery. Clergy and parishioners should be taught the various biblical scriptures that reflect the importance of them possessing a high quality of life. For example, 3 John 1 and 2, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper." 1 Corinthians 10 and 31, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Matthew 8 and 17, "That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bared our illnesses." So even nowadays, when you're teaching the importance of health to your parishioners, you can refer back to the scriptures why they should be living a complete healthy life. Many of them, and also you can refer back to the Bible, that many of the miracles that Jesus recorded in the Bible were health related. For example, healing of leprosy, healing of the women with the 12 years of bleeding, healing of blind men, and also one of his commandments was when he told his disciples to go heal the sick. Many churches today have various subspecialty ministries addressing preventive health and the social determinants of health in order to address the various components to enhance the quality of life for its parishioners, such as many churches have health ministries for adults and children. For example, the AME Church has the Health Commission, advocating that health care is a right for all individuals and not the few privileged. They have educational training in order to elevate the educational attainment of the students. We all know that the higher the level of educational attainment is directly related to a higher quality of health. Housing is directly related to the quality of health. Where you have inadequate housing or homelessness is usually affiliated with the low quality of health. Financial support, the higher socioeconomic status usually is elevated with the higher quality of health. You have a greater support system and better environmental areas that you're living in. And also the social justice issues affect the quality of health. Faith leaders who are also healthcare and are public health specialists can educate their church parishioners how to become proactive about their health through various activities, such as health fairs, awareness programs, such as breast cancer awareness. I know at our church we just had, it was a nurse, she works for Blue Cross Blue Shield Michigan. She was in a program addressing breast cancer awareness, and she had women able to come out and have their mammograms taken. So she brought the services to the church where some church members might not have gone to health care services. Prostate cancer awareness, especially when it's the minister, whether it's male or female, the parishioners will follow what you do, they will follow suit. Cardio and certain preventive diseases that must be addressed in the African American community, such as cardiovascular diseases, diabetes mellitus, physical activity, obesity, and nutrition. The National Cancer Institute had a book entitled Body and Soul, A Guide for Your Church on How to Eat Healthy. I know our church had was out in the eastern region. They had a big push on how to eat healthy, and they were addressing diabetes mellitus and was showing how different, well, it started with the bishop, and we're looking at different elements that were affecting his life, and it trickled down to the church members and how they were able to lose weight, which was directly related to a decreased incidence of cardiovascular diseases and diabetes mellitus. Physical activity should be available and enjoyed by parishioners of various ages and levels of movement at certain church functions, especially while sitting for a prolonged period of time. For example, exercise regimens may be available during breaks, during meetings and attendance by the clergy, missionary, church officers, or lay congregation. So I'm in the missionary, and we have, in our district, we have a nurse. We had a meeting all day, and they say it's break time. So she comes out, and she knows different exercises for us to engage in. And she tailors them according to everyone's age and everybody's range of motion. Exercise and our dance regimens may be led by individuals of the dance ministry. So dance ministry, I would say, has been more popular. Maybe it initially was not accepted in the black church, but I would say the last 20 years it's become popular, and it's been embraced, I should say. And also, in addition to having dance ministry during church services, maybe like on a Friday evening, you can come out and they can overlead the dance. The dance ministry can lead the parishioners in dance. Exercise regimens may be catered to senior citizens and individuals who have a limited range of motion. So there are different exercises. Let's say someone cannot walk, you know, teaching people how to exercise right in their chairs. Psychological assessments and treatment addressing potential mental health issues should be available and encouraged to attain by both members of the clergy and lay parishioners. The stigma addressing much-needed psychological assessment and treatment should be removed, and it does not reflect an individual's walk with God. I know as a child, I used to always hear ministers saying, you just believe in Jesus, you don't need psychological treatment. There's not a correlation. Like, let's say if you had to seek mental health treatment, that does not reflect your walk with God, whether you have an increase or decrease walk with God. Mental health is just as important issue to address as physical health. And I am a candidate in the ministerial studies, and the first thing we have to do is take a psychological exam. And they're even encouraging those already in the ministry to periodically to have one. Maintaining good mental health is as equally important as maintaining good physical health. Say Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Clergy and parishioners should be taught the importance of empowering themselves by participating in the Surgeon General Family History Initiative, where they will gather a detailed record of their family medical histories, expanding up to 3 generations of biological relatives. So a lot of times your parishioners, when they go to the hospital or seen by the healthcare professional, they feel like they're asked so many questions and they don't know why. Well, it's good to educate them that this is like providing a record of who they are. When, and it expands at least three generations of biological relatives if you're able to. So when you get there and they say, have you had this, have you had that, they don't really understand why they're asking them all these questions, but they're just really trying to get a genetic imprint of that person's biological background. And also when you, let's say you have, sometimes you might not know it offhand, and it'll take up a month or a while to find out your medical records of your biological relatives. This record will provide an accurate picture of the patient's genetic makeup, enabling the medical specialist to make a more precise diagnosis concerning a mental and or physical illness. For example, I've myself been asked, they say, April, do you have any history of cancer? And I'll say, no, no, no. And then I have to go back, yes, I had an aunt, you know, even though it was in the 80s, who was diagnosed with breast cancer. So sometimes it's right off the spot because it's not immediate. You can actually forget. But if you have some time set aside, time to actually record it, you can have a more detailed and accurate record of your medical history. And also they call Thanksgiving Surgeon General History Day because that's the time, a lot of times the black family is together and you walk in, engage in talk and conversation about your medical history, and which is empowering you with knowledge. African American churches have founded historically black colleges and universities in order to elevate the educational attainment, which is a direct relationship to the quality of health seen in the community. For example, this is just geared towards the AME church because I'm in the AME church, but other churches have founded universities as well. For example, the AME church founded Wilberforce University, Edward Waters College, Allen University, Paul Quinn College, Morris Brown College, Shorter College, Payne Theological Seminary, and Turner Theological Seminary. Certain African American churches have provided a source of financial resources for their parishioners in order to help sustain themselves in order to experience an adequate quality of life. In Detroit, Ms. Bethel AME Detroit founded the Fannie B. Pack Credit Union. This was in the 1930s, and at the time she was the first lady of the church. And they noticed that so many of their parishioners were denied financial assistance or loans from the mainstream banks, and they decided to open up a financial institution for their parishioners. Okay. There's a widespread discussion among faith leaders regarding if Jesus engaged in issues pertaining to social justice during his 3-year public ministry, where he taught his disciples and others how to live and treat one another. For example, in Matthew 25:35-39, for I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him and saying, Lord, when did we do these? When you were hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? And when saw we thee sick or in prison or came into thee? So Jesus was in essence telling them, when you did unto others, you did unto me. As you do to the least of them, you do unto me. Some African American churches engage their parishioners to apply their faith principles of Christianity in overcoming social oppression, which is related to the quality of health, similar to how Jesus taught the masses during his ministry on earth. African American parishioners can enhance the quality of life as the body of Christ, overcoming negative social determinants of equity, such as overcoming racism, lack of educational attainment, lack of career opportunity, lack of social support, low social economic status, hazardous environmental conditions, and low quality of health. So different churches, they have different programs utilizing to enhance the quality of life for their parishioners through these various social determinants. Heightened level of events of racism involving police brutality and the unarmed killing of blacks whose deaths were not justified in court, led to the coalition of diverse denominations, mostly African Americans, supporting the Black Lives Movement. This past December 14, 2014, which was designated as Black Lives Matter Sunday, encouraged all worshipers to wear black, demonstrating the message that black life has value. Like for myself, I'm in Detroit. I go to Bethel AME Detroit, and our sister church in South Carolina was hit. So it wasn't like it was across, you know, people on the other side. A lot of our ministers knew the people who were assassinated, and there was a lot of grieving going on across the country. History has shown that African American faith leaders involving the clergy, missionary, and lay constituents have engaged in public health endeavors as they have worked to enhance the quality of life for their parishioners, as well as the community in which they serve, through addressing the mental and or physical health, as well as the social determinants of health inequity. So that's it. So I guess we'll, as you said, we'll wait till the end to ask questions. Okay, all right, thank you.